Praise the Lord, everybody. Pastor Cox, I certainly am privileged and honored to be able to speak here in your pulpit. Thank you very much. I have a thought tonight taken from a song that was on my heart this week. I got up and I was thinking about this song, and I quite frankly can't remember the last time that I sang it. It's been so long ago. But anyhow, I'm going to try a cappella to sing just this first verse, and then I'll just speak out these other verses so I won't torment you too long, okay? Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. Verse 6, there's many verses, I think there's 9 verses of that song. Verse 6 says, if in health or in sickness, I will go with him all the way. And verse 8 says, he will lead me to grace and glory, and I'll go with him all the way. Verse 1 is the only verse that varies from all the rest in its complexion, and it says, I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take the cross and follow me. I woke up thinking about this song, and I thought, well, I suppose I can entitle my message tonight. I'm not plagiarizing my message. I'm telling you right up front, I stole it from this song. Okay? Where he leads me, I will follow. My message tonight is a direct result, not an indirect, but a direct result of last Sunday's service and Pastor Cox's sermon. If you missed it, it was great. It was wonderful. The last 2 or 3 in particular messages that have come forth from this pulpit have been so anointed. Great. So anointed. Not to say that the rest haven't been, but these last 3 have just really, really been special. And those of you who have not heard 1, 2, or 3 of those messages, you really need to get them. They'll bless you. Anyhow, the sermon focused upon listening for the Spirit of God to speak to us. To hear the voice of the Spirit requires us to follow Him as He speaks. It's not just listening for the voice, but once you hear it, God's voice moves. We'll be talking about that in just a few moments, and you'll get a better idea of where I'm coming from. But God just doesn't find Himself a stationary podium, stand behind that podium and lecture to us. The Spirit of God meets us in different places and in different ways, in different circumstances of life. And sometimes we'll sense it coming. Sometimes we can actually sense the Spirit of God on its way. And there's times that we actually feel the Spirit of God right in front of us. And then there's also times when we feel it just kind of fading away, and we're thinking to ourselves, don't go away, don't go away. I like this. I want to stay here for a while. But that's not exactly the way the Lord works. And so we have to adjust our thinking about being led of the Spirit according to the way that He does things, not the way that we want Him to do them. Okay? All right. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord. This is talking about the mobility of God here, the mobility of the Spirit, a Spirit that's not just going to be found in a stationary place. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him. Therefore, and this is the essence of what I want to be talking about tonight, therefore, to be led of the Spirit, And we all want to be led of the Spirit. We've all been told to be led of the Spirit. We desire that. But what does that mean? I mean, it's almost like a cliche. Really, what does it mean? Therefore, to be led of the Spirit requires that we not only be attuned to what He has to say to us, but to be willing to get up from where we are so that we can stay near Him as His Spirit passes by. The first recorded instance of God speaking to man and desiring God and desiring man to speak to Him is found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, if you would post that for me, please. And in that scripture, the Bible says that, "And they," that being Adam and Eve, "heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden." Now, they didn't see God. They didn't see God coming and listening to His voice. It doesn't say that. What it says is what it means, and what it means is what it says. And it says, "And the voice of God walked." That's kind of odd. But I ask you tonight, let's put this in kind of a perspective that we can understand. How many of us have ever been in our home and heard a siren, and it's coming down the street, and we hear it from a distance, and it gets louder and louder and louder and louder and louder, and it's really loud in front of our house, and then the sound starts to diminish, and it's not quite so loud until you can't hear it anymore. It's the siren sound, as it were. It's not walking, it's traveling in that automobile, but it's moving from where you first sense it's there until you really sense it's there, until you sense that it's fading away. Now, those of you in the electronic world on Facebook, and if you're a lawyer, I'm not intending to hurt your feelings, but we've all heard about those who are ambulance chasers. An ambulance chaser will simply hear something and follow it to see where it's going. So there's a point that I want to bring out tonight in regards to the good point of being an ambulance chaser. If you want to find out where the Spirit of God is going, you got to get up from where you're at, wherever station in life you're at, whatever position you find yourself in, whatever spiritual status that you find yourself in. Even if you're feeling poorly in the Spirit or if you're feeling great in the Spirit, it matters not, because if you want to continue to hear the voice of the Spirit, you can't expect the Spirit just to stop at your house and spend a couple of days talking to you. Because, you see, God's not looking for somebody to talk to because He's bored to death and He got nothing better to do. He's got a purpose in His voice, and His purpose for His voice goes past us. And therefore, if we're going to find out what His purpose is, where He's going, and what He's about to do, the only option for us, the only option, is to get up. Aha, I hear it coming. Oh, I feel it now, but I feel it going, so I'm not willing to just hear the voice of God. It's kind of like that commercial that says, "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?" God's voice is not speaking to us just so He can say, "Can you hear me now?" The purpose of Him speaking to us is to say something worthwhile to us. And if somebody's going to say something worthwhile to you, it can't be just a momentary thing. It's not just, "Oh, I feel God. That's great." But we in Pentecost many times have a tendency to think, "Oh, I felt God in that service. Isn't that wonderful?" Yes, but what did He have to say? Well, I don't know. It kind of faded away. And on Monday, I forgot about it. What did I feel? What did I think? What did I hear? The reason why is because you settled for just hearing a voice but not desiring to hear what He had to say. He's got something to say. But you can't just expect God to say, "Okay, here I am, God, and I got, I'm, you know, you got my audience, so hang around here for a few days and just keep talking. It doesn't work that way. God speaks, he does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, with whom he wants to do it, no matter what you think. No matter who you are. God's on the move. His eyes are searching throughout the whole earth, looking for people who will serve him. And the voice of God walked. I don't want to get into a deep theological discussion here, but God is a spirit. And David said, though I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Though I go and by the wings of the morning and go to the uttermost part of the earth, thou art there. You can't contain God in anything. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere at all times. Now, I have a finite image. And outside of this image, I'm not there. I'm inside the image. I'm contained within the parameters of this image. That is why that John 1:18, if you'd post that for me, please, it says that no man has seen God at any time. Why? Because there are no outside parameters to distinguish him in. He is everywhere, not confined within and quote unquote an image. When the Spirit of God, which is everywhere, created man and speaks man into existence, he created him in his own image. But who was his own image? The Bible says that Jesus was the express image of his person. God, in the beginning, looked down through time and saw the man Christ Jesus, the second man Adam, and made the first man Adam to look like him. Because Jesus was the image of the invisible God. And God created Adam in the image of God. Yes. Who was the image of God? Jesus. Yes. We were made to look like him. Did Adam see a theophany? Those of you who have been around church for a while, and if you ever ask a preacher who Melchizedek was, the answer would be, well, he's a theophany, because it sounds like it's a cool word and it gets you get them off your back because you don't really want to talk about it.
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, you open up a can of worms, and I don't need a can of worms. We don't know if Adam saw an image that God would allow him to see or not. But we have no reason to think that he did, because there is absolutely no reference, no inference of such a thing happening in the book of Genesis with Adam. What it says is that he heard the voice of God walking. That's what it says. And it says nothing else about God as far as his relationship with Adam and who he saw. God does sometimes stop, thank God, for a while. I'm glad he does. He does sometimes stop to converse with us. But to continue an extended conversation requires we follow his voice. Yeah. He will not tag along after hours just to fill up his day so that he's got something to do. His voice was and is yet the means by which he chooses to daily communicate with us. To understand in detail what God had to say to Adam, Adam had to move wherever he was at in the garden, in the cool of the day, and follow after that voice as it walked by. In other words, now listen to this. In other words, the Spirit of God would lead Adam, because the Spirit of God was found in his voice. And as God followed, as Adam followed the voice as it walked through the garden, he was being led of the Spirit.
Yes, he was.
And to be led of the Spirit was the only way by which God would choose to show Adam things that he needed to know. Let's put on our thinking cap here just a minute. Imagine Adam saying, where will God's voice lead me today? I mean, he did come in the garden daily. You know, he spoke to him daily. Okay. I mean, he just didn't say, okay, let's talk about baseball today. You know, or football, or the weather. He had something to show him. The only means by which Adam had to learn was from his teacher. And his teacher was God. And God was a practical teacher. He was one who would hands-on show him things, not just tell him about it. For instance, would he lead me to the rivers Euphrates or Pison or Gihon or Hiddekel? Those were the rivers that the Bible says that made out the parameters, the boundaries of Eden. Or will he maybe take me by the tree of life? Or maybe by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? How would God know? Think about this. This is practical. This is scriptural psychology 101, okay? How would Adam know which tree was the tree of life in the midst of the garden unless God had showed him? How would he know? You think, I mean, that sounds preposterous, and it is, but there was not the sign that says tree of life nailed to the tree. How would he know which tree was which? Lots of trees. God would have had to show him, and how would he have showed him? Because he heard his voice walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and he followed after the Spirit. He was led of the Spirit to learn. And that's what the Spirit does for us. The Spirit will teach us. One scripture says you don't even have need of a teacher. Did you know that in the scripture?
Don't tell me that, preacher.
But you know, there's something about the Holy Ghost. Well, it'll give you red flags, brother. Somebody tell you something in the scripture, red flag.
Wait a minute, I'm not sure about that.
You know what I mean? And somebody will say out of the scripture, and they'll be talking about something, and you'll think, wow, check that out. I never heard that before. It agrees with the Holy Ghost in you. Okay? The Holy Ghost will teach you. It teaches you because it will agree or disagree with what it hears. That's how it teaches you. It'll agree or it'll disagree. All right. Anyhow, how would he have known? How would he have been able to distinguish between the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? How unfair it would have been if God would have said, don't eat of that tree, and then never tell them which tree it was, and they ate it by mistake. God wouldn't have done that. God would have showed them which one it was not to eat from. Otherwise, there would have been guile in this thing. There would have been subterfuge in this. There's no guile. There's no subterfuge. It's upfront and straightforward and clear cut. Black and white, simple. How did he ever know? The only way he would have ever known was if God had shown him. And the only way that we know of in the scripture that God showed him anything was through his voice and the guidance of his voice. And his voice was the Spirit of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus. The Word of God, the voice of God. Jesus one time said, peace be still. Remember that? That wasn't any more difficult for him to say than to say, let there be light. Because it was the Spirit of God in him. Not the man, but the Spirit of God in him, which was the Word incarnate. causing things to happen because he was. His body, his fleshly body, was the Son of God, but his spirit was the Father himself. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Who is it? What's it all about? Jesus. Jesus. Truth be known, Adam didn't know where God's voice was going to lead him from one day to the next. You know, it hasn't changed a lick. He didn't know. God didn't give him an itinerary. God didn't give him a schedule. Be at such and such a place at 11:14 on Tuesday, buddy. No, he didn't do that. He simply had to stop what he was doing, where he was at, wherever he was at, when he heard the voice of God, and follow that voice. And that voice would take him to places in the Spirit. Yes. That he would take him to places in glory. He would take him to places in that earthly heaven called Eden that he could not have imagined had he not been escorted and led by the Spirit of God. It wasn't a self-help tour. Eden was not a self-help tour. It was a guided tour. God may have asked Adam, do you remember this place from a previous experience following my voice, Adam? Do you remember this place? We've been here before. Do you remember it? You know, he still asks that same question today. The Spirit still asks that question today. Do you sense God's presence tonight and know that it's his presence because you have been here before? You have felt this way before. You have experienced this before. You know how you got here before? By the leading of the Spirit. And you know how you got here tonight? By the leading of the Spirit. Jennifer, my friend, you were led of the Spirit tonight to come to this place. God himself called, and you answer. Jacob once said, God's in this place and I didn't even know it. A lot of people come to this place where God's at and they don't even know it. But something about it tells them that there's something strange here. And when they get in a fix, like Jacob found himself in a fix one time, he went back to the place where God had showed him before, that he didn't even recognize that God was there. Why? Because he was led of the Spirit to go there, even though he probably did not even know that that's what happened. How many times have we been led of the Spirit and had no idea that we were being led of the Spirit until circumstances evolved and we said, wow, I see how all this came about now. I didn't have a clue. But God's got a way of leading us by his voice without even actually hearing an audible voice. Did you know that? Yeah. He'll do it by urgings. He'll do it through a dream or through a vision or through an idea or through a word from somebody that's just talking to you at the store. He's got all kinds of ways to express his voice to us. In my life, I've been serving God for a number of years, and I've had the Holy Ghost for 50 years this October. And in those 50 years, I've heard God's audible voice 3 times. Now, that doesn't. That's if I had to rely simply upon him speaking to me in an audible voice and have to go 50 years to hear it 3 times over scattered many of years, I would have been out of this thing a long time ago, because it would not have been sufficient, as wonderful as it was, As wonderful as it was, I needed more. We need to talk to God, yes, not just three times in 50 years, hear His voice.
Right.
We need to hear His voice just about every day.
Yes,
sometimes every hour.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
But He has spoken to me in dreams. He's spoken to me in visions. He's spoken to me in urgings. He's spoken to me through you. Some of you have spoken to me. You didn't know you were being used of God. You didn't know. But God used you to speak to me. That's how the voice of God works.
Yes.
And when you hear that, hang on to it. Cling on to it. Oh. It's kind of like when somebody gets up here and they're preaching away, you know, and, oh, when's it going to be done? Then he says something that, ooh, I like that. I like that. What do? You grab a hold of it for all it's worth. You hold on to it. You hold on for dear life. Because that word was meant for you. God was speaking to you. That's why you felt an urge. You felt the glory of the thing. When all the other stuff might have been just fine. It might have been great stuff, but it just didn't do the trick for you. You know what I mean? But just one word, one sentence, one phrase, one thought made the whole sermon wonderful. You see, that preacher was being led of the Spirit to speak of you to you. And you were being led of the Spirit to follow after that voice. Abraham is noted as the father of the faithful. God's voice told Abram to get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. When I wrote that down, I thought of this song, and it said, and I'm not going to sing it for you, so you know, I'm giving you a break. You got to move, you got to move, you got to move. When the Lord gets ready, you got to move. And I'm not just talking about hearing His voice, because as wonderful as it is, if we're going to glean anything from it, we got to move and follow it. God told him to get up, get out of the house, and go to a land where I'll show you. Did he tell him where he was going to Palestine then? No. Did he tell him all the things that he was going to encounter? No. Did he tell him about his tomorrows? No. But by faith, and that's what faith's all about. Faith is about grabbing hold just of a little bit so that God can make a lot out of it. He didn't know where he was going, what he was doing. All he knew is that God said. Okay, and by faith, he took that little bit of virtually nothing, knowing nothing, to become the father of the faithful.
Yeah.
To be the supreme example in the Scripture. The supreme example. There is no better example in the Scripture than Abraham. None. Bar none. God at first calls, but he did not reveal a specific locale. God gave him very little information. We've got to, by faith, we have to listen for the voice of God. And when God speaks to us, we can't expect, now God, now explain this to me. How's this going to happen? And how's that going to happen? And how's this going to happen? And how's that going to happen? It don't work that way. It didn't work that way for the Father of the faithful. It didn't work that way for Jesus himself, which we're going to get to here in just a few moments. And it ain't going to work for us. We have to listen. And he says, come follow me. Where are we going, God? Well, I'll show you. Well, am I willing to go when I don't know where I'm going? You better be. Or you're going to go nowhere fast. You're going to be left behind. All the glories and the wonders and the splendors, the healings, the miracles, signs and wonders, you're going to miss them simply because you didn't obey three words. Come follow me.
Yeah.
You don't need to know where you're going. You only have to realize who's taking you there.
Yes.
God's voice led Abraham in a segmented journey. He didn't go directly to where his promise was. Folks, we're pilgrims and strangers in this land, and our ultimate objective is to go to heaven. I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven.
Yes, absolutely.
But until then, I got today to live. Mm-hmm. And I got tomorrow to live, and the day after that to live until he comes. So my walk with him, after hearing him say, come follow me, is one day at a time. One segment at a time. One experience at a time. That's what happened to Abraham. He had lots of experiences, but they were segmented. This race is a relay race. Did you know that? We're in a race, but it's a relay race. We go from point A to point B, and we stop for a while, and we rest, and we go through life in a normal mode. And then pretty soon we take the baton and we go a little farther. And then we stop again in life. And then we take the baton again and go a little farther. It's a relay. It's in segments. But God blesses you at the end of every segment. Every one. There's a blessing to those that listen and follow. He has something to show you. He has a tree of life to show you. He has something to show you at the end of every segmented journey. Yeah. There's a blessing to be had every day living for God. Every day. Not just some, but all of the prophets that were successful, who were faithful. There were some unfaithful prophets. But the faithful prophets in the scripture, routinely, they were led of the Spirit. That's our subject tonight, being led of the Spirit. How were they? Because they obeyed, they were willing to obey the voice of the Spirit as God walked in their garden. In their garden of life. We have a garden of life right now in our own lives. We have our own little garden, so to speak. And we're walking there. And we're in that place. And God, every day, there's going to be a part of that day that God's going to come walking. Every day, I promise you. If you listen every day, you'll hear his voice coming from someplace, from somebody, from something. And you listen for it. And when it gets real close and it starts to fade away, you know, well, maybe he'll come back tomorrow. No, don't do it that way. Because if you look at it that way, tomorrow will be the same as today. That's the same way of people coming to church and they're feeling, like I say, they're feeling God, and that's good enough. Because all I got to do is come back next Sunday and I'm going to feel God again. And then the next time I'm going to feel God again. You think that's the purpose of his coming?
No.
You think that's the purpose of him coming and walking in the garden of your life?
No,
his purpose is to come and follow me, follow my voice. I'm going to take you to places. I'm going to take you to things. I'm going to take you to experiences that are glorious, that are wonderful.
Yes.
I'm going to take you to high places.
Yes.
I'm going to, even the Apostle Paul said one time, I didn't know if I was in my body or in my spirit, but I'll tell you what, I went to a place called the third heaven. Woo! God took me someplace one day while I was a praying. God took me someplace one day when I heard him coming. And I wasn't willing just to say, hello, God, nice to see you today. How's it going? Goodbye. No, he didn't do that. He hung on. And God led him to the third heaven, which was so glorious and so wonderful, he said it was unlawful for him to even talk about it. I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I just feel like saying, "Whoa!" You know what I mean? Nobody's looking. Whoa!
Yeah.
Why is that? Because God took me someplace today. He took me someplace today in the Spirit. As I was sitting in my chair at home after contemplating this lesson, I got thinking about it. Lord, bless me, bless these people. Don't make me let a fool out of myself, all that stuff. All preachers do that. And all of a sudden, I heard his voice coming.
Glory.
Ooh.
Glory.
Then I felt him right in front of me.
Thank you, Jesus.
And sure enough, it started to fade. And folks, I didn't want him to go. But I figured if I come and preach this thing here tonight, I'll be following after His will.
Yes, sir.
I'll be following after His Spirit.
Yes.
I'll be following after His voice, and He's going to take me someplace in my garden that He's placed me in, and I'm going to see something wonderful. I'm going to experience something wonderful. You know, I'm already feeling it. You know what I mean? Woo! Okay, now I can go on. All right. Let's look at Jesus. I want you to think of Jesus. Now make sure that Jesus wasn't 50% God and 50% man. He was 100% man and 100% God. Because His flesh was 100% flesh, He was 100% man. Because His spirit was 100% God, He was 100% God. So 100% God lived in 100% man. I want to talk to you not about the divinity of Christ right now, but about the humanity of Him. He's our perfect example of how a man can be led of the Spirit. Always go to Jesus when you're looking for the supreme example of anything. It doesn't get better. Everybody else and everything else is a shadow, a type of what He would come and show Himself to be. He is the light of this world, and everything else has a shadow, but there is no shadow of turning about Him. None. There's no guile in Him. What you hear Him, what you read about Him, He's not speaking to us as I would speak to you, because I'm thinking, I can't say this to you because I might hurt your feelings. Because that's what we do. That's human nature. I'm not going to tell you this because I don't want to spoil the end of my story. And if I tell you that right now, then it'll spoil the end of my story. Jesus didn't do that. There was no guile. No planning about Him like the way we think about how we can control people by our speech, because we do. He simply said the truth based upon what God told him to say. We're going to get into some of the words that He used here. I want you to think about that, because without that grasping of that, you'll not really see the text that I'm coming from, the purpose. John 8:28 says, I don't think I gave that to you fellas, but John 8:28 if you want to post it. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I, a man, me, the man, not Christ, not the Spirit of God in me, but the physical nature of my humanity. I can do nothing of my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. Note, this Jesus, the man, not the Spirit within Him, was speaking. How did He know where to go and what to say? How did He know that, well, today I'm going to go to the Gadarenes. Today, or not to the Gadarenes, but I'm going to go through Samaria. Today, I'm going to go here. And today, how did He know that? Was it just, He was led of the Spirit, folks. He heard the voice of His Father, and He followed the voice of His Father. Yep. Simple as that. It's hard for us to relate to that. We don't think that way. Our nature is not that way. Every once in a while, we would like to think that we are led of the Spirit, but He was continually, constantly led of the Spirit. There was no time that He was not led of the Spirit, because the Spirit was dwelt within Him. The Spirit of God, the voice of God, walked in the garden of His day through Jesus. The Spirit of God walked, just like it did in the garden, but it walked in the person of Jesus. And when Jesus spoke, it was the words not relayed from God, but the words of God, from God, because God's Word was in Him. It was His Spirit that did the work, not Himself. He could do nothing. He could do nothing without the Spirit's guidance. How did he know where to go and what to say? He did it by listening to the instructions of his Father, which was the Spirit of God. Jesus, the man, was consistently and constantly in communication with the Spirit. Now, let us look at some examples of the ways of the Spirit led Jesus. In John 4, I don't know if I gave this to you fellows or not, but John 4, verses 3 and 4. Would you post that? John 4, verses 3 and 4. He left Judea, talking about Jesus, and departed again into Galilee. And this was the reason why, verse 4 tells us the reason why he did it. And he must needs go through Samaria. Was Jesus hiding details? No. He was simply telling these folks what God had told him. And he was moving, not necessarily because he heard an audible voice, because it doesn't say that. But he had an urging, somehow, some way, from the Spirit of God. All right? And he left Judea and departed into Galilee. Now, and he said, I must go through, or he must go through Samaria. Now, this is interesting. Some people would say that's just a matter of semantics, but it's not semantics. It doesn't say that he was going to Samaria. It was saying he was going through Samaria. And it doesn't say he was going to a particular place in Samaria, because Samaria was a large place that had many cities. But he was going through Samaria. There's a reason for that. The wording in the Bible here is not to play mind games with us. It's not some vague, ambiguous thing that we can try to make something out of. It says what it means, and it means what it says. And he had an urging to go through Samaria. Now, his ultimate goal would not be the woman at the well. That was a passing situation where he encountered on his final destination. Now, I personally, have no reason to believe that Jesus even knew beforehand that he was going to that well. Because I'm talking about the man, I'm not talking about the spirit of the man. I don't believe the man knew. The reason why I don't is because the scripture says he had an urging to go through Samaria. And as far as I'm concerned, that's good enough. In our lives, God will give us urgings, God will speak to us, and we don't know the whole story. But Jesus was willing to go through Samaria to a place where he hadn't been told yet, but was willing to go. A perfect example of being led of the Spirit. Perfect. Perfect. Just got up and went because God spoke to him somehow, some way, to go through Samaria. But his ultimate nation, once you study the scripture, you find out that certainly wasn't his ultimate destination. He kept on going right after that. He had someplace else to go that the Spirit was going to lead him. But he would not have experienced, and that woman would not have experienced the glories and the wonders of the hand of God unless he had been willing to simply listen to God and follow the Spirit. That same urging from the Father. See, because he's our example. All these things are for our example. They're not just stories. You know, we obviously put Jesus on a pedestal because of who he is and what he is. We understand that. But we have to understand the various aspects of him and who he was. And his reactions, both from the divine nature and from the human nature. And now he's giving us an example to humanity as to how to follow after the Spirit of God. It's for a purpose. It's not just something to read about. It's not something to fill up pages with print. Anyhow, Jesus' disciples at the beginning of their journey only knew where they were going to follow where Jesus told them, and that was going through Samaria, because to them, Jesus was the voice of God unto them. The voice of God to them was Jesus. And so when they heard the voice of God coming, they started paying attention. And when he spoke to them, they really paid attention. And then when he decided to leave and go through Samaria, hey, if we're going to experience something, we better follow him, or we're going to be sitting right here in Judea. Ain't nothing going to happen without the Spirit of God being here in him. Nothing. It's going to be the same old without God. So anyhow, they went to Samaria because it was where Jesus was going, and that was good enough. Though God manifested himself to us in the flesh for our healing and salvation, because it had not been for the humanity of Christ, as well as his divinity, would not have been saved. It was the humanity of Christ that died on the cross. It was the humanity of Christ that took on our sins, because God knows no sin. God can't die, but Jesus, the man, died.
Yes, that's right.
When he hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished," and the Spirit left him. Why did the Spirit leave him? Why did he say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because God can't know sin, and God can't die.
That's the truth. Amen.
That's why. And he took on our sins as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world in the flesh. God died for us in the flesh of Jesus Christ. God didn't send his errand boy and say, "Hey, you do this dirty work for me." No, he did it himself. He housed himself in a body called the Son of God, and he died on Calvary's cross for you and me. He took stripes on his back on the humanity of God, not the divinity. The divinity of God doesn't heal us. You realize that? The divinity of God didn't heal us. The humanity of God healed us. His stripes, his blood shed on Calvary's cross was for the healing of the nations. Paul said there are many voices in the world and none of them without signification or significance, and there are. Yeah, I can turn on the radio at any given time, especially on Sundays, and listen to all kinds of ideas about God, all kinds of theologies, all kinds of outlooks and understandings. What we got to do is make sure that what we hear agrees with the Spirit that's in us.
Right.
When you feel that red flag, get away from it. Change the station. Because it ain't God talking. The Scripture says, no man can call Jesus Christ except by the Holy Ghost. There are people who will say he is the Christ, he is my Savior, but they can't say it on a personal level of experience.
Right. Absolutely.
So we got to listen. We got to listen to those voices. Some of those voices are good. Some of them really are. They're persuasive, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you listen real careful. Someplace in there, if they're not led of the Spirit, it'll show up like a sore thumb. I guarantee you it will, because God's got a way of doing that. Another example of Jesus being led of the Spirit is found in Mark 4 and verse 35. You post that there. Jesus said to his disciples when they got in the ship and they were going to go across the Sea of Galilee, he said, "Let us pass over into the other side." Now remember, one time he says, "I must go through Samaria." That's all he knew. Now he's not telling them where they're going or nothing either, but God's told him, "Hey, get in the ship, go to the other side." Okay, it's good enough. Another example of not knowing everything. I'm talking about the man, not the Spirit. And yet being willing. See, that doesn't agree with a lot of you, and I feel that, I sense that, what I'm saying here tonight, but I want you to think about it. Jesus had his own will, and he said, "Not my will be done." Okay, he was human. And because of his humanity, he experienced all of the trials, tribulations, doubts, you name it, troubles that we face. His knowledge as a man was limited. Even as a child. You think he, as a child, God would put on his heart that he had to die on a cross the way he did at the age of 10, so he would have to think about that agony the rest of his life until he got to be 33 and a half years old? You think he would have done that? You think God would have done that? But he learned. The Bible says he learned and found favor with both God and man. Now, the Spirit didn't learn. The Spirit knew all. But the Spirit didn't reveal everything to Jesus all at the same time. The only way he knew was to be led of the voice of God each step of the way. Otherwise, it would have been so cruel of God. Think about that, knowing as a child what you'd have to do and sensing the agony. Sensing the, I mean, it's just it's preposterous. He learned just like we learn. He experienced just like we experience. And he followed the Spirit just like we are supposed to follow the Spirit, because he is our example on how to do it. Let us pass over to the other side. He told his disciples what the voice of God had said. That's all. Jesus said nothing about a coming storm, did he? Nope. Why? I believe because God wanted the man Christ Jesus to get some rest. I don't believe in his humanity he could have even rested knowing the turmoil that was going to happen in the next few hours. But God keeps things from us. Do you know that? God purposefully keeps agonizing things from us because he will not put more on us than we can bear. He will not. He's not a cruel God. He knows what's going to happen, but he'll let you know what's happened based upon his own will, not because you're so smart or you've got so much spiritual intellect that, I guess I can tell him. They don't work that way. God wanted the man Christ Jesus to rest peacefully and that the disciples learn a lesson about faith. That lesson would have no effect whatsoever had God told Jesus to tell them of the impending storm and how it was going to be rectified. He said, well, fellas, we're going to run into this storm, but all you got to do is come wake me up and I'm going to say, peace be still, and everything's going to be okay. What would they have learned from that as far as faith? What lesson? They wouldn't have learned anything. No. And after it's all said and done, he says, once again, just like he does it so many times, hey, you got to have faith in God. Where's your faith? I'm in the ship with you. He's with you. God's with you. You might have a storm tomorrow and you're on the horizon, but hey, all you got to do is call on him.
Amen.
And when you call on him, he's going to stand in the face of the storm and he's going to raise his hands. And he's going to speak like he spoke in the beginning, and he's going to say, peace, be still. And a great calm. A great calm was good. You know what? Those fellows, there was such a great calm. It was out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. It was so calm, there was no wind. How'd they get to the other side? They had to row. Even the blessing of God has a price sometimes. When God brings peace to you, sometimes you still got to keep rowing to get to the other side.
Wow.
17 times, I counted them today, 17 times in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus used these words, quote unquote, follow me. 17 times. You felt my spirit coming. You fellas, disciples, you feel it now. And as I walk away, you're going to feel that spirit leave. And so if you're going to keep up and you're going to have a contact and a relationship with me and my spirit, you've got to follow me. Otherwise, you're just going to have to travel on past memory, on past experiences. They'll keep you for a while, but not forever. I'm thankful for my past experiences, but I got to have new ones. I got to have refreshing ones.
Yes, sir. Always.
You know, there's things that God has done for me in my life that I still sit down and think about sometimes and just cry. I told you one time, and everybody laughed, but it's true. My daughter, Stephanie, said, Dad, she said, you'd cry at Hallmark commercials. I mean, you know, I'm a crier. That's okay. But it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful just to bask in the presence of His voice. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to go to a preacher's meeting and somebody gets up there and he's got the Holy Ghost, he's on it, man. He is nailing it. Yeah. And you're saying, preacher, brother, yeah, I like it. Go, go, go. What are you doing that for? Because something inside of you says, I like that. I identify with that voice. I identify with that voice. That's God talking. Because it agrees with my spirit.
There you go.
That's how I know. All right. I believe that you get the point of my message tonight. At least I hope you do. Just as Adam was required to follow the leading of the Spirit's voice to gain instruction and to see the wonders of God, we've got to do the same. God's voice still walks through the gardens of our lives. He calls to us not just to say, hello, but to follow Him. Follow me, as I said, 17 times. It's one thing if somebody says something once or twice or three times, you're getting the idea that it's important. 17 times! Follow me. We will never know what He has in store for us if we fail to follow after His voice. We will not be able to distinguish between the trees of life in our life and the trees of the knowledge of good and evil in our life if we fail to listen and to follow Him. He will show us what He wants us to see. Not necessarily what we would like to see. Sometimes He does, and I'm glad. He will show us what He wants us to see. Jesus is still calling. Follow me. Just as Abraham would never have sought a city whose builder and maker was God, had he not been led by a voice, we will never see that city unless we are led by that voice too. And lastly, in closing, and this by that I don't mean 20 minutes from now, I mean quickly. Lastly, if Jesus only knew what the Spirit told Him at any given time for any given experience, how can we expect any different for ourselves? Folks, we've got to listen to His voice and be willing to follow Him even when we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. But we know that He's leading us. He's guiding us. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art there. He will never leave us and forsake us. He will go with us, the Bible says, even until the end of the world. I want to see miracles, signs, and wonders in this life. Do you?
Amen.
I want to see them. I want to experience them. I want to be a part of the atmosphere as souls get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, speaking in tongues when the Holy Ghost comes. Miracles of healing. Families restored, children brought back into a family border. I want to be there. I want to see it. I don't want somebody just tell me about it. It's wonderful. Tell me the stories, but hey, I want to be there.
Yes, sir.
Take me to that part of the garden. God, I'm listening for Your voice and I'm going to follow You. I'm going to follow You because where You stop is where I'm supposed to be. I might not understand this particular segment of this traveling through my own Eden, but I'm going to trust You until You come back tomorrow, and I'm going to hear Your voice again, and You're going to lead me out of this place and take me to another place because I'm listening. I want to be instrumental in seeing them, these miracles, signs, and wonders, and it will only happen if I You know, I'm not just preaching to you. I'm talking to me. I know, you know, me. A preacher preaches to himself is the best sermon he'll ever preach is when he preaches it to himself. Yeah. Because he can be real honest with himself. Because he knows him. I know me. Oh, some parts of me I think are pretty cool. Some things are not too cool. Don't ever repeat that, okay? Everybody knows it. My nature. I tell you, I'm perfect. I just can't get nobody else to believe it. You know what I mean? All right. It will only happen if I'm led by the Spirit's voice to where those things are going to occur. Thank you.